Thanks. Thank you so much, Pastor Vic, and thank you all for coming. Merry Christmas, everyone. So I remember being in church plays as a kid, and I never had a starring role, and my kids will be happy to hear I never had a singing role. Two of them were in the group there, and my wife was singing tonight as well. But I do remember being one of the shepherds. That was a low-risk role. You just kind of wander around, right? So my story really starts as a young kid. I grew up going to church. I had a really wonderful family. And one day I came home from Sunday school, and no one told me to do this, but I'd heard about it. I was about five. And I knelt down beside my bunk bed, and I prayed. And I asked, they said the words back then were, ask Jesus to come into your heart. And I didn't know a lot more than that, but I knew that God loved me. I knew that Jesus had come as a baby, that He lived this wonderful life helping people, but then that he also died. And I had a sense that there were things that were sins. I knew that word, things that were wrong things. Back then, I can't imagine what I thought as a five-year-old I had done wrong. I couldn't. I didn't have any awareness of that. Okay, but that's where it started. And unfortunately, as my life went on, all of us, I think, can relate. There's sort of two things that happen to us. One is we get hurt. People hurt us. And the other thing that happens is we hurt other people and we disobey God. That's a common thing. For me, it started around age 9. So look at the kids that were in the group there. One of my daughters is 10 now. My son's 8, so right between them, age 9. I started getting targeted by this teacher at school. I don't know why. I'd come home every day after school with lines I had to write out. To this day, I can't tell you a single thing that I remember doing wrong. I dreaded going to school. I was terrified of this teacher. And I began to kind of retreat. The one thing I learned that I could do that she could not criticize was math problems. 2 plus 2 is 4, no matter what the teacher said. So I committed myself to being perfect at math. We had this thing called the Mad Minute. Does anyone remember this thing? Did anyone do this? Is vintage? Yeah, some people are not. Get your hand out. Who remembers the Mad Minute? Look at this. We should form a support group for the Mad Minute. I was so good at the Mad Minute, I would finish in like 30 seconds. This was a minute you had to finish as many problems as you could. And, of course, she would see it and she would mark it, and it was 100%. And I learned at that age, at age 9, that I could be better than this teacher. And then I started realizing that I could be better than the other kids, too. I was better than all of them. I had this wound that was put there, and it got worse as my life went on. It turned into bullying when I was in grade 7. I ended up being hospitalized. I had stopped completely eating food. I was admitted to hospital and put on intravenous. They had no idea what was wrong. They're drawing blood. They thought I had leukemia or something. And again, this sense of like not being good enough, having to earn my way through life, went from the Mad Minute to trying to get, I got 103% in physics. Did you know you could get 103%? They did that. There was bonus credit. Next thing you know, it was getting a 4.0 GPA. That wasn't enough. I started winning all these national and international I went to a competition at Harvard and won it in university. It was never enough. I had anxiety. I would wake up at night with panic attacks at 2 o'clock in the morning, like my chest was being stabbed with a knife. I struggled with depression on and off. From a very young age, I learned that I could numb out the pain with substances. It started when I was 9 years old. There was some rubber cement around the house. I didn't even know. I started sniffing glue at age 9. Imagine this. My parents had no idea. It's very dangerous, you know, kills your brain cells. That, of course, turned to other substances. Maybe some water for her. She might need a bit of water. It's okay. I'm glad she's here. Maybe get her some water, though, up front. And then it turned, of course, to alcohol, cannabis. And I had this secret life. I had this secret life. I had this facade. If you ever seen those old movie sets, think of those old westerns, you know, they walk down the street. From the front, it's a real building. It's a real saloon. It's a real police station. But if you go behind it, if you peek behind it, what do you see? It's a couple of pieces of wood. 2x4s holding it up. There's nothing behind it. that was like me. Jesus described that. He said to the Pharisees, these people who thought they were righteous, the religious leaders, he said, you're like whitewashed tombs. Imagine a tomb. He said, outside it looks beautiful. It's beautiful white paint. But inside you're dead and you're rotting. I was dying inside. I was trying through my own pride to be better than other people. I was trying through all these other ways to fill these holes in my life. And it eventually came to a head 30 years later, when I was 39. This is 5 years ago this fall. I had been praying to God to bring someone into my life that I could open up to and share. And I, in desperation, signed up to go to a men's retreat at a new church we'd started attending. There was 300 guys there. And it was in the middle of nowhere in the interior of BC. And it was a cold, cold, frigid October night. And no one knew that how desperate I had become and how far I had fallen. I kept this perfect image up as this great dad, this good guy, this author, this award-winning, you name it. But behind the scenes, I had decided that if God didn't give me some kind of breakthrough, I didn't even know what that meant, that weekend, I was going to go walk off in the woods and just let nature take its course, to die of hypothermia probably within that, with that very night. Jesus came to save people, and he saved me. He saved me. What I heard at that retreat was not the same old thing that I'd grown up in the church hearing of Bible stories, how I needed to be more like David, if I just needed to try harder. You know, if I could be as strong as the disciples who would stand up for Jesus, even though they risked death. I couldn't live up to those Bible stories. And instead, what I saw at that retreat was something completely different. I saw a stage like this full of five men, and they shared their stories, just like I shared with you tonight. They talked about struggling with alcohol. They talked about being abused, some of them as kids, physically, sexually abused as kids. They talked about sexual sin and cheating on their wives. They talked about how they had tried to medicate and deal with all this stuff that they knew there was no hope. That was literally the first time that I'd ever heard anyone, let alone in a church, talk about this stuff and really share about it. And I was like, well, they said, if anyone wants prayer, who needs some help right now? Like, let's get real. Just stand up. And I can tell you, I didn't make any conscious decision. I was up on my feet. And I felt first the hand of this guy beside me who I barely knew. I just started going to this church. He put his hand on my shoulder. And then there were these other guys, like probably 20 guys. And I was bawling. I was not crying. The tears were streaming. My face was soaking wet. And I went up to one of the guys who'd shared after, this old guy. And I said, can I tell you my story? And I told him my story. And he said, look, Jesus can set you free from this for the rest of your life. But you can't live in secrecy and hiding this anymore. You got to be open. I really liked the first part. The second part, not so much, right? It'd be nice if Jesus just kind of, you know. So it took another 5 months before I finally, God brought me to share all of this stuff. First with my wife, and then my parents, our pastor, the elders, our friends. And it was the start of what I call my new life in Christ. I was literally, it's a really simple story at the end of the day. I was in desperation, and I called out to God. I literally did. And what I saw was that those holes I was trying to fill in my heart, that unworthiness that I had first being bullied as a kid, later on being cheated by a fiance, later in political scandals and just rejection by my best friends, multiple, all of these horrible wounds that I was just trying to fill, I realized that God loves me so much. That unworthiness that I felt got replaced, and it took a while. It wasn't overnight. I prayed every day the verses that are in the Bible. I finally started reading the Bible. I've been going to church my whole life. I'd never read the thing. I'd never read it. You know, most professing Christians have never read the Bible. Okay? I'm not saying that to shame you. That was me. So it's really pretty simple stuff. I started doing this 5 years ago, and I do it pretty much every day on my knees praying, talking to God. It's not enough to know who Jesus is. It's about to trusting him every day. Jesus says, come to him every day. The daily bread. Jesus is our daily bread. That's not just talking about physical food, right? We need him. So praying, reading God's word, and getting into a group of people who you can share and be honest with. There needs to be at least one person in your life who knows everything about what you've been through and what you've done. At least one person. And once that light starts to come in, it's like my life was this moldy, dark basement. But God opens that up. He clears out all that stuff. And as we turn away from all the things we were using to get through life and turn towards him and trust him instead of our own ways, he changes us, and he changes us from the inside out. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. And I wanted to give you an opportunity, because I had that opportunity at that retreat. If anyone here wants to pray a prayer right now, whether you've been going to church your whole life like I had been and thought of myself as this Christian, but in the inside I was not right with God and I knew I wasn't. Or maybe you're someone who's coming to a Christmas Eve service and this is the one time of the year you'll come. We're going to be opening presents under the tree tomorrow morning at our house. Most of you probably will be too. My kids would never leave a present unopened under the tree. They wouldn't do it. Don't leave this gift under the tree, right? The greatest gift that you're given is the gift of Jesus, that he came, that he died for you, for your sins. And by turning from our own ways and following God, we get right with him. And he promises not just a new life in eternity, but a new life today, here and now, where we get to take each day at a time. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and laden down. If you feel laden down, you're carrying this big load. Maybe it's parenting, it's work, unemployment, health issues. Something that, when I say the word sin, there's something that comes to mind, and you're just like, you've carried this shame. Maybe your whole life. Jesus offers you forgiveness. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So let's just bow our heads. Everyone can go ahead and do that, whether you want to pray or not, just to quiet ourselves before the Lord. And if you want to accept this gift and start following the Lord Jesus tonight, I'll just ask you to pray a simple prayer. It's a very similar prayer to the one that I prayed when I first started following the Lord, and it took me a long time to get to this point. Lord Jesus, you can say this in your head or out loud if you like. I know that I'm a sinner. I've broken your commandments and fallen short of your standards. Right now, I want to turn from that sin and ask you to come into my life. Be my Lord, Savior, friend, and God. I put my faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone to save me from my sins. Thank you for loving me and calling me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, it's not some magical spell. But if you meant that in your heart, God heard that and he hears you. And it can be the start of your new life. It says in the Bible that we need to go and make disciples of all nations. That means that if you're starting out as a baby Christian, like I did 5 years ago. You know, I knew all the Bible stories, but I sure didn't know what it meant to follow Jesus. I didn't know what it meant to repent of my sin. I would like to get you a gift tonight. So if you prayed that prayer, come up. I brought a couple of little index cards here. And the reason they're on these is you can just write whatever mailing address you want. I'm going to send you this. This is just a $10 New Believer's Bible. I went through it myself. It's great. Answer some of the basic questions. Start coming to church. Get plugged in. There's small groups at this church. You can start meeting up with folks. And Amazon will send it to you this week. Okay? So I will stick around after the service. I know Pastor Vic will too, and there'll be some others. And if you'd like someone to pray with you, We would love to do that. I heard those guys share that time, and that's why I'm here. And Jesus came to save sinners. He didn't come to save those who are healthy. He came those who are sick. So thank you so much, and praise the Lord that he gives us a new chance. Thank you.